What's good and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, January 11th. No, it's January 10th, friend.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
I'm already wanting it to be Friday on this first full week back in the office. Welcome, everybody. I'm Andrea Renee, joined by, friend, what is Greg's moniker for you?
I don't even remember yet. I think we're working on it still.
Kevin, do you know what it is?
I have no idea.
We gotta pick one. The hair, Fran Mirabella?
He probably says something about that. That's not
right?
Bad. The hair is good.
You have really great hair.
Hey, friend. Best friends. Thank you. I appreciate that. You also have great hair.
So thank you so much.
It's a trusted compliment.
This is an exciting day, Fran. Not only are you now part of the amazing team here at Kinda Funny, but we are hosting our very first episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily together.
I know. It's special. I want a little fist bump for it.
Yeah.
Right there.
This is going to be fun because I love that you have such a deep background in entertainment and video game news. So I think it's going to make for some really great discussion. And of course, as I tweeted earlier this morning, you know we're going to be talking about Destiny at some point. It's actually in the news today. But before we get to that, we do have a couple other things to talk about. Of course, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, your source for video game news and everything else under the video game sun, or whatever Greg says. I don't remember right now. You can watch us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, we ask you to please help us kindly by keeping us honest and going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you want to be part of the show, you can head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Join that bronze tier and you can submit your questions, your squad up usernames, your deals of the day, and pretty much anything else that comes across, you know, your brain that you want us to talk about, and we will look at them. Plus, if you guys want to download us, you can do that on podcast services around the world and subscribe at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We have a little bit of housekeeping. As you guys know, we are celebrating the 4th anniversary of Kinda Funny, and we're doing a good old-fashioned fundraiser. You guys can head on over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or patreon.com/kindoffunny to see all of the cool shows that we are adding, the world tour that we're planning, and to learn about Patreon memberships like the new Bronze membership that, of course, as I mentioned, gets your questions right here on KFGD. And today, we are brought to you by Quip and Hims, but we'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's get into what is and forever will be the Rober Report. Time for some news. 3 items on the Rober Report.
A baker's dozen.
Oh, Kevin, I miss working with you. That Barrett guy needs a little bit of work. Can you show him the ropes?
Wow.
Show him the ropes.
Will do.
Yeah. No, he's a good kid.
He's not here. We can talk trash about him. That's the rules.
No, I don't want to talk trash about him.
No,
he's just a little green. That's all. He's new. He'll learn. It'll be great. First item on the Roper Report, Red Dead Online Beta announces Battle Royale mode. So Rockstar sent out a press release this morning that stated Red Dead Online will stay in beta for a few more months, yet as we have many more new gameplay features to add across the board, as well as further changes to improve, stabilize, and refine the overall experience. Today's update to the Red Dead Online beta introduces Gun Rush, where you'll put your survival instincts to the test, gathering weapons and ammunition while the play area shrinks in this new mode for up to 32 players. Available to play now in free-for-all and team variations, where the last one standing wins. More updates coming soon, including new races and showdown modes and new clothing and emotes, as well as some additional changes based on player feedback, including daily challenges, which tackle new challenges each day, covering every aspect of the game from sharpshooting to evading the law. Law and bounty upgrades. Some changes are coming to the way that law and bounty systems work in Red Dead Online to reduce the enticements for griefing. Soon, players will get a bounty for committing crimes and will be incentivized to pay them off within an allotted time. Way too long, and bounty hunters from each of the states will track the player, forcing them to either pay up or escape. Parlay changes. We're making the parlay system easier to trigger so that you can avoid aggressive players more quickly. In addition, it will be easier to trigger feuds, posse feuds, and leader feuds to take on attacking players in structured competition. Proximity-based player blips. Player location blips will soon appear only over short distances, reducing the range at which you are visible to others, decreasing the likelihood of being targeted by another player across large areas. Down the line, we're also looking to introduce the ability to identify players who grief and kill indiscriminately with a progressively darkening blip that becomes more visible at a longer range, so everyone in a session can identify potentially dangerous opponents at a glance and from a safe distance. And they also talked about some of their future plans, saying we are working on lots of new content that we'll be releasing this year, Just a few of those updates that are in the works include all new missions to build on your story in A Land of Opportunities from previously established characters like Horley and Jessica Leclerc, a range of dynamic events throughout the world, lots of new competitive modes, including new showdown modes and races, plus new weapons and clothing, and lots more that we're not quite ready to announce yet. And then they also tacked on that Xbox One players can now access the Red Chestnut Arabian Horse, the Alligator Skin Ranch Cutter Saddle, and the High Roller Double Action Revolver in the Red Dead Online beta. I believe those were PlayStation exclusives as part of a marketing deal they did. But now they are available. So before we dive into that, Elijah Miller has wrote in and asked, "What's good, Andrea and Fran? The time has come, and Red Dead has its Battle Royale mode. Does this tickle anyone's fancy? My fancy definitely isn't tickled, but Red Dead Online isn't for me. Thanks, I love what's good content, and keep it coming." Well, thank you, Elijah.
The fancy tickle rating.
How tickled are you, Fran?
I'm tickled. I'm glad that Elijah Miller said the words Battle Royale. It wasn't explicitly, I guess, in the press release.
No, I added the words Battle Royale in the headline. So, yeah. Because it's very clearly a Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, but I don't know if they had said it or not. I don't think they did.
No, why
but
would they?
I don't, because yeah, they should. Why
would,
not?
It's it would the paint them as a bandwagon jumper.
It makes the investors happy. But that's what it is. You know what? And I call it the RDRBRGR. That's the Battle Royale Gun Rush mode. All right. That's what
RDR,
it's all about.
RDRBRGR.
Always here for the acronyms, but it's here. Now you got it. Use it in some form of a tweet. Anyway, I'm excited. RDRBRGR. You can say in whatever order you want. It's going to make great hashtags, but I'm excited on the premise of I'm glad they're exploring it.
Yeah.
A little less excited on I've played Red Dead, a lot of it. I've not played online, but I've watched, and it happens to use the same control system. So when they use words like sharpshooting, I get like a weird battery acid taste in my mouth where I do not like the controls in that game. I was watching someone playing the team variation today and like you get one of those crappy snipers and I get that it's Old West, it's not supposed to be great. And it's just like basic aiming is terrible right now. I'm looking forward to hopefully it comes to PC or something, but I don't know if I like it as a shooter online. That being said, I've not played online. I didn't want to disclaim. I'm not naysaying online because I like a lot about it. So anyway, I'm glad they're exploring it.
Well, I have played a little bit of Red Dead Online, and I found it frustrating from a variety of perspectives. So these changes are actually really welcome changes. Mm-hmm. The one that I think is particularly the best for me as a player is proximity-based player blips, because the griefing is real in any online game, and it's particularly bad right now in Red Dead Online, because when you're in the game world, you can see all the other players on the map, so you can't really escape from somebody who's griefing you unless you quit out of the game and join a new instance. Which
camp, right?
Well, I mean, here's the thing though, is that you can put your white flag up at camp, but they can just wait for you outside your camp until you leave.
That's horrible.
You know, it's
a beta.
Yeah, obviously it's a beta. We know that a PC version of Red Dead Redemption 2 is in the works and will probably release at some point in 2019 would be my guess. I would think mid-year to later in the year, but if we can, you know, kind of look at what they've done in the past. I mean, don't forget Red Dead Redemption never came to PC, but given everything that they did with GTA 5 and GTA Online specifically, it would be silly for Rockstar to not release Red Dead 2 on PC. So I think that's coming. It's definitely in the works, but I don't know if these changes are enough to get people back into the online space for the reason you mentioned, that the combat is just not as fun as GTA online combat is.
Yeah, it's such a heavy exploration game for those of us that have played it. I think it is about the, you know, the smell and the feel of it. When I get into engagements, I kind of like some of the quick draw auto targeting, rootin' tootin' in town shooting stuff, but even then I get a little frustrated. So since you've played some, I mean, what is the mode that people were playing before consist of? I know you were like getting some money, but you can like run into people and choose to battle them or not. Is that what it was?
That's like what the parlay system is. Yeah. So you can, it's not as obvious as what they did with GTA Online. And obviously, you know, GTA Online evolved quite a bit over the several years that it's been out. And I remember it was also had its fair share of problems at launch. And, you know, they patched it and patched it and patched it and now have a very consistent content release schedule that appeases the community that's still there. I think really the key differences here is that the open world in Red Dead is just inherently different than the world of GTA. And there's more to do in GTA. I think it's just being in an urban environment with vehicles is inherently more exciting. But we also, you know, just for you guys to know, I don't want to make it sound like we're just kind of crapping all over Red Dead, because we're not. We actually talked about it on the Gamescast this week, which you guys can check out tomorrow.
What is it? Friday at 6 a.m. and Monday for Patreons. Friday at 6 a.m. and Monday at 6 a.m. on YouTube.
Right.
Is that right, Kevin?
Nice. You nailed it.
Good job, Fran.
Part of the Gamescast now. I got to know this stuff.
So you guys can check out our conversation about the campaign over there. But, I mean, this is good. I think what we've talked about is that if you're really excited and you're a diehard Red Dead fan, go for it. Jump in. Yeah. Have fun. But just keep in mind that it's a beta and they're still tinkering and there's work to be done.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I was planning on, right after I finally beat it, and so close, I'm going to hop into online and check it out. So I am excited to check it out. The world is really lush and beautiful, and controls aside, I think there's some neat stuff that can happen. But that's why I don't know what people who do enjoy online, I'd be curious what they like most about it. But it's still very early. You know, it's still in beta. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Well, next item on the Roper Report. The Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences have announced the DICE Awards 2019 nominations. 56 of the most exciting games from 2018 received a nomination. God of War leads with 12 total nominations, followed by AAA blockbuster hits Marvel's Spider-Man with 11. Red Dead Redemption 2 with 8. Indie title Return of the Obra Dinn with 6 nods. Tying with 4 nominations, including Astrobot Rescue Mission, Detroit Become Human, Florence, and Into the Breach, while Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Moss each receive 3. Finalists for the top honor, Game of the Year, are God of War, Into the Breach, Marvel's Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Return of the Obra Dinn. The winners will be revealed at the DICE Awards ceremony on Wednesday, February 13th at the Aria Resort and Hotel in Las Vegas, co-hosted for the third year by Kinda Funny's own Greg Miller and Jessica Chobot of Nerdist News. Honored this year as the Hall of Fame recipient will be Bonnie Ross, Microsoft Corporate Vice President and Head of 343 Industries. The ceremony will once again be live streamed in its entirety beginning at 8 p.m. Pacific Time via multi-year media partner IGN Entertainment. You can find the full list of nominees over at interactive.org, which is the AIAS website. And for people who are curious, the Academy's 30,000 plus members, comprised of interactive publishing and development communities, recognize excellence in 23 different interactive game categories and one of the highest forms of recognition in the industry. Titles were played and evaluated by members of the Academy's peer panels to determine final nominees, and these panels, one for each award category, are comprised of the game industry's most experienced and talented men and women who are experts in their chosen fields. Winners are determined as part of confidential voting process and will be revealed the evening of the show. I think it's always kind of good to get the information about how these nominees are picked and how the winners are chosen, especially in light of some other game shows, game award show. That's what I'm looking to say. Like that farce of an award show that was on CBS.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even really catch that. But yeah, these are the...
That's for the best, Fran. It was a hot tire fire.
I always forget this, but the Golden Globes are peers. Is that right? Or is
no.
that the... Which is the no, movie
no. one? The peer one are the SAG Awards.
That's right.
And the Academy Awards are technically peer voted too. The Golden Globes are critics.
Press.
Right. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Oh, so Oscars is peer. But it's equivalent to that. That's what they're trying to keep, you know, the official, you know, people who make games or are involved in it voting on them versus it just being the press.
Right. Or fans.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
I thought, you know, one interesting thing to think about is, you know, what was the biggest game, would you say, of 2018? The biggest.
The biggest game was inarguably Fortnite.
That's right. So it, not on the list because it came out the year before.
Correct.
You know, persistent online, I think it's still an interesting category to like figure out. They did have an online category. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting Destiny's on the list because it is, you know, love it or hate it, it is a huge online game. But I'm pretty sure. So by the way, I quickly scanned the list right now.
Are we going to yeah, so I, just some... just
or
some,
no, wait, Fortnite is online. Sorry, it is an online game of the year. I take it back.
It's just not nominated for game of the year. So almost some key categories it. Maybe we can take a look at. I do think it's interesting for game of the year specifically, that how they differ from what the game awards were. So Return of the Obra Dinn getting a big nod here, and Into the Breach also getting a big nod. I'm a little disappointed Celeste didn't make it into the game of the year category, because it's one of my personal favorites from last year, but I've also heard fantastic things about those other two games. One of the other more fan favorite categories, Outstanding Achievement in Character. So we've got Cassandra from Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Atreus from God of War, Kratos from God of War, Peter Parker and Spider-Man from Marvel Spider-Man, and Arthur Morgan from Red Dead Redemption 2. That's going to be a really tough category, because any of those characters could win. So that's really fantastic. Any of these other categories stand out or speak to you, Fran?
I mean, they all do. You know, I don't know if we want to drag on the topic too long, but
we've got some time.
Where I was originally going with it, it's interesting that, so it's good, Fortnite is an online. Almost had to report me on kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, right? But it's not eligible for other categories, although it has significantly updated, you know, and added and done these huge online events. And I'm not saying, by the way, it should or shouldn't. It just strikes me every year, the last several years, is interesting that there's these really big games like Destiny or whatever. You're only eligible for online because there's not a Destiny 3, right?
Like there might be.
Kind of. I mean, you are and aren't, but meaning this is where it gets a little gray. Don't you think, like, we still as an industry face, there's these persistent growing experiences. Forsaken did come out. I mean, it was eligible, but what I mean is you kind of fall under the radar because it's a, you know, it's an add-on almost. I mean, that's how I look at it. Like, I feel like it gets a little overlooked in some ways because it's not Destiny 3. I'm not, this isn't about Destiny. Other games go through this, like Fortnite. Like season 6 and 7 and everything are pretty big in terms of just games, like what they are. Meaning, the example would be, it's a shooter or action game, whatever you want it to be, it's not really going to get put in those categories because that was last year. How do you think, do you think it's approached right? That because it's persistent versus brand new, even though the gameplay stands up, that's what I'm getting at. The gameplay hasn't changed and everybody still loves it versus other new games, but it's not really going to be part of that category because, well, it was last year.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I don't necessarily think that games as services are automatically discounted because their release model is different than a traditional retail release. What tends to happen is that games as live services generally have very niche audiences, and they don't tend to speak to a wide variety of gamers, because in order to be successful in a lot of games as service games, you have to play them consistently over and over again, because otherwise you kind of get left behind in the content.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Fortnite really excels, is because it's approachable to so many different types of gamers. But if you think about other games in that category, like a Destiny, like a For Honor, like a PUBG, or even a more traditional game, like a more traditional MMO style, you know, those have very individual audiences of people who play games. And when you look at the development community, people who are making video games, they probably don't have as much time as fans do, or people who have other jobs, to commit to playing games as services to that extent. So maybe it's not at the top of their mind to nominate in those categories.
Yeah. And it was really just to illustrate, it's tough. You know, I think about, like, Division was a good example. Now, it fixed itself within the same year, but it kind of came out. It wasn't broken or anything, but it was thin. And then it really came out and rebalanced. And man, people were like, now you should play Division. But imagine that that was on the cusp of the year. And that's kind of what I mean. If it happened at, say, the end of 2018 and going into 2019, it tends to be, well, you know, it's overlooked or whatever for the next year. But, part of it, you got to look at, and I know why, you got to make room for all these new games, and there's a lot happening. But it's just an interesting place to be in when you think, let's say they revamped, they fixed all the sound effects, they've added a new character. It just tends to be a little less top of mind for some of these categories.
I do think it's interesting that the categories in online game of the year include a game called Laser League, which I've never played, and include Sea of Thieves. So we've got Sea of Thieves, Laser League, Red Dead Redemption 2, which, by the way, is still in beta. I think that's crazy that Red Dead got a nod in online game of the year.
I do think that's odd.
Fortnite and Destiny 2. Like, Fortnite and Destiny 2, of course, they've been mainstays in the online category for the last well, Fortnite since it came out, but Destiny really since it released has been in this category. The idea that Red Dead is in there with their beta, like I've already expressed my opinions about games that aren't fully out being in some of these categories, but I'm trying to get over that because it's happening more and more. But that game is not ready to be nominated. They have connectivity issues. Those are sirens on our end, by the way. Every time
don't worry, at home.
Me trying to get into a posse with Britt and Simer is like it's really much more difficult than it ever should be. And staying in a posse, like the matchmaking still needs some work. Like, there's just too many issues for that game to be nominated. Like, where is a game like Call of Duty Black Ops 4? How is that missing this category?
Exactly. I was going to say, if I just said pick a better online game, I think we took a second. I mean, even as much as I gripe about Smash Brothers, like, I'm pretty sure, again, I haven't played Red Dead Online, but I watch. I'm pretty sure I would enjoy Smash Brothers more. Absolutely. Call of Duty Blackout, or even just Call of Duty, period. So there's a lot going. I don't know how that one got in there as that, but it is the peers. Right. And that it does. That's the point. These are, I mean, it's the industry, and this is what they think is interesting.
Yeah.
Now, it might have just been they didn't have enough time to play all this other stuff, but we all go through that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the concept of Red Dead Online and the technology behind what they're trying to do is absolutely noteworthy and in worth recognition. I just don't think they've executed on that vision quite yet. And I think it would have a better place for Red Dead Online in this category at the Dice Awards 2020.
Yeah. But yep. No, I totally agree. I think that's
just
my
two cents. For all of you Smash fans out there, since you did bring it up, you will be happy to know that it did make the nominees for Best Fighting Game of the Year because it missed the cutoff date for the Game Awards. But because the Dice Awards are in February, it snuck in there, so you'll be happy to know that.
Right.
Yeah. Smash fans in the peanut gallery. But yeah, if you guys want to check out all of the nominees and all of the categories, again, interactive.org is the website. And don't forget, Greg is co-hosting with Miss Jessica Chobot on February 13th at 8 p.m. Pacific time. Are you guys doing a watch-along?
Yeah, let's just say maybe.
Maybe?
Of what?
Of the Dice Awards.
Yeah, maybe.
Why not? It's 8 p.m. on a Thursday or on a Wednesday.
Some of us just want to go home.
It's broadcast in a couple places. We know it'll be on IGN, it sounds like, and then the official AIS. Actually, I don't know if
they... Yeah, their official Twitch channel.
They do it on their official Twitch channel as well, right? So, and yeah, actually, Destiny was nominated for the action category for Forsaken, which I think is...
Destiny sucks.
I know that Destiny. We bring it up a lot.
Did you guys really come to boo Destiny when Fran and I are hosting?
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah! Woo!
Okay, Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, he's talking about facts.
That would be a hot take if it were true, but it's not true.
Barrett's
so
hot takes are the worst because they're so uninformed.
Oh, sorry, you guys Barrett. Got him, burned him.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, it was going back to what I said before, and it did make that category for Forsaken. But there's just so many good games out there now; it is crazy. And unfortunately, there's only it looks like about 5 slots per each of these main categories. It's only so much room.
Someone's going to have to get cut.
Yep.
A third item on the Roper Report. Bungie, speaking of Destiny, caves after new Destiny 2 puzzle stumps players.
This is saucy. Spicy.
So this write-up comes from Ryan Gilliam over on Polygon. And he writes, Destiny 2's newest puzzle has players completely stumped. With Destiny 2's weekly reset on Tuesday came a new event known as Niobe's Torment. After players found their way to a previously hidden area of the EDZ location, Niobe Labs, they discovered a multi-tiered puzzle. Completing that puzzle would unlock the fourth and final forge in Destiny 2's Black Armory Annual Pass content. After more than 24 hours of attempts to solve the puzzle, Bungie has revealed that the Burgusia Forge will open Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, regardless of whether the puzzle is solved.
Yeah, opened up yesterday.
So that was yesterday. Quote, while coming together as a community to solve puzzles can be fun, setting this puzzle up as a gate between you and new content that you want to play has not been an ideal experience, said Bungie. As such, we will be decoupling the puzzle from the final offering of the Black Armory. All annual pass owners will be able to experience the Burgusia Forge when the puzzle is solved or when the deadline expires, whichever happens first. The puzzle itself consists of players standing in a room, clearing a wave of enemies, then punching a code into a wall. After each code is input, a more challenging wave called a bypass starts and a more complex puzzle unfolds. Players have made it up to bypass level 7, presumed to be the final bypass, considering Bungie's affinity for the number. Bungie has also revealed that a ghost shell and an emblem will be rewarded to the players who complete Niobe's Torment puzzle successfully. Streamer and World Force Raider X Glad has been attempting to solve the puzzle for 27 hours straight. So this was from yesterday.
And
looks to continue the journey. The change of heart or capitulation for Bungie seems to come from fans complaining to the developer on Twitter. Who would have thought that happened? And while Bungie spent the majority of Tuesday encouraging people to try the puzzle for themselves, on Twitter it seems the internet voices were too loud for the studio to handle. So we've got a couple questions about this, Fran.
Yeah, and maybe just can I finish the setup?
Yes,
maybe
please
I put it
do.
Simply as, because that's a lot to process if you don't play Destiny.
Yes.
Here's kind of what happened as I would describe it. You bought a season pass for about $30. Content releases. They said forges come out. So they stack releases of these new forges where you go and you forge these new weapons by defeating enemies effectively. So you get this chance to explore a new thing. And they said it will be out on January 7th. That's all they said. They have a roadmap. They've actually been doing a killer job of telling us the roadmap. So you paid money on the 7th. Maybe I'm going to take work off. Now I'm relating this to something that I've run into in the past with this stuff. And I think part of it is they're like, let's go, the fans. And there's this crazy puzzle. I keep thinking of that gif in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
With the woman and all of the equations.
Oh, no, that too.
Across.
It's nuts. I mean, even I was decoding some of the glyphs based on somebody just made a little codex so you could figure it out. But it's nuts. It was a barrier to the content that they said was coming on this week. So that was part of it is the fans are like, I'm just here to play it. Like, I don't want to do the puzzle. On the other side, there is this puzzle thing. I think it's cool. They're trying it. And like the thing is, it just went on way too long. That was the other side of it. It just is way too crazy. And the push came to shove and there's a lot of reasons for it. There's stuff to do this week and the people just could not get it done. Bungie basically, I don't know how they test this stuff, but we're way off in their estimates, which I think they've been way off in their estimates lately because they overcorrected in trying to become super hardcore grindy again. And this went a step too far and it's still not been solved. So sorry.
No, you almost answered Matt's question. How do you feel about the way Bungie handled the Brucia Forge puzzle issue? Did they make the puzzle too hard? Was it just kind of a bad idea to have content locked behind the puzzle? And then, Miko writes in, first off, I'm so excited to have Fran on the show.
Ayo.
I have a question that regards Destiny's decision to release the new Forge even though no one solved the Niobe Labs puzzle. Do you think the fact that Bungie released a puzzle this hard will negatively affect the community in any way? Or do you think them releasing the Forge for annual pass holders has negated the fact that they blocked the content behind an unsolvable puzzle fixes everything? So, you kind of answered Matt's question a little bit. But
you should go first since I blathered already. Oh. Then I will get, because I didn't really give my opinion, I don't think, but...
Well, I have the annual pass, but because I took so long getting up
you
to 600,
had a chance to even
I haven't
get
even
here
done
yet.
The first forge yeah. yet. So I just finally hit over light level 600 so I can start doing the forges.
Got another 20, 30 hours before you can even do this stuff.
I know. And so, yeah. So for me, like, I'm not as upset about it as other people are, but hypothetically thinking if.
Yeah,
I
if you were ready on Tuesday,
right,
how would you have felt if it was like crazy puzzle? And by the way, Andrew, you have to bring a team of three people in there
right.
and have them sit there to figure it out. Or you just have to wait for...
So you have to have a full fire team.
Yep. To solve it. I mean, we might find out later there's some way to do it. So, but for the most part, you have to have a fire team. In fact, everything I've seen of the way it's solved, you have to after you get to about bypass three. So, but the idea is that this week you're ready to play, ready to go. You want new content, new year, new you. Gonna play some Destiny. I'm trying not to like set this up, by the way. But if you were in that state, honestly, just ready yeah. to play, would you be like, no, like, I don't mind waiting. I think it's cool. There's a puzzle. That's one view. Like, really cool. They did this crazy puzzle. And or are you impatient? You're like, what the heck? I don't even want to do this. Which side are you on?
I don't generally like solving the puzzles in Destiny on my own. In fact, I have never solved any of the Destiny puzzles on my own. I rely heavily on the people that are in my clan and more importantly on the people who are like pro Destiny players, who are content creators on YouTube or are full-time Destiny streamers, because those are the people who are so deeply connected to the game that they'll be able to solve it first. What's interesting is when I heard somebody explaining how to decode this puzzle, it made me think a little bit about some of the puzzles that are in Ready Player One. Like, did you ever read that book?
No, no.
So the whole premise of Ready Player One is...
No spoilers, right?
No.
The it's overall, not going to be an Avengers Infinity moment for me, right?
Oh my gosh,
no. Some people know what that's about.
It's basically like this guy has to solve these puzzles set by this multi-billionaire in order to win his fortune.
Yeah.
And they're really like obtuse puzzles, and you have to study years of his life and read all these books and all these things to kind of like overlap like 17 different Venn diagrams to figure out where it all. And so like I was listening to somebody trying to work on this puzzle, and I was like, I know why Bungie did it, you know, right? Because they are trying to please everybody, and you can't. That's the problem.
That's fair.
And the biggest complaints that I saw about this that I think are valid are over 90% of the people who played Destiny consistently, who buy the annual pass, who buy DLC packs, who are there for the weekly reset, are not people who are full-time players, right? This is the same thing that you and I got into it about when I was on Fireteam Chat about the raid and how high and how difficult it was to get into the raid at the beginning. And what it comes down to is if you're charging money for content, you shouldn't gate it artificially behind some kind of a wall that excludes the vast majority of people who have paid for it. I think it's a really fun Easter egg for the diehard fans to go and find that puzzle, but saying, hey, you can't get into the Last Forge until that really crazy puzzle is solved was obviously a misstep.
Yeah, again, it comes down to number one, just communication. Had they not said that it's even, they should have just said it's not even coming out. They shouldn't have even talked about it and just released it. And we found out there was this other Forge, and I think it would have gone a little better. But instead, we were all told January 7th, get ready. It is tied to, there's other deeper stuff in the game of like, it's Curse Week. There's a special, it's called Shattered Throne. You could only do it this week. So that's why, by the way, when you put it all together, like, crap, if we don't let people do this, the week will expire. You have to wait 3 weeks again to try to do, there's this quest that continues after this. So anyway, my opinion is, man, it's too long for this show. But number one, I do feel like, I gotta be careful with how I say this because I'm a streamer, but I do feel like it's being designed for these full-time streamers, and which maybe that's more objective now, but I'm like, it had really high success on Twitch, but I feel like there's a bit of measurement of that. Hey man, we were like number two on, you know, some of the top streams the other day because it was so crazy, but it was out of frustration. And also, I would look at, like, did it have the people coming back to play the content? Did it have people buying the game? You know, I hope they're looking at that and not just stuff like this. But I get the feeling it's been a lot about they're tired of the community feedback that it was too easy, and they really overcorrected.
Right.
You know, these decisions were made, you know, months and months ago. So I just feel like they went too far with it. Mm-hmm. I really do commend them for, on the one hand, saying, like, we just have to open this up. You can still go do the puzzle, but we're not going to, like, stick our heels in and, like, because there are people up for 30 hours. And I think that's another side of it that I really think about. I'm like, don't they? I know it's Datto and GLaDS and everyone's choice and my own. If I want to sit there for 5 or 30 hours straight and they made some good money on that day, that's your business. Part of that's cool. But on the other side, it's like, I don't know, man. There's like an ethical side. Like, they know people are going to try to do this and stay up for 40 hours. Like, I just don't like the design of it in that sense. I think there should be in-game.
Anyway, I think the one thing that they could have removed was the reset within the puzzle itself. So,
oh my God, there needed to be a checkpoint. Yes.
Right. So I think that was the toughest part. And I don't want to go into the weeds of what the puzzle is because a lot of you out there probably already have glazed over eyes because you're like, I don't care about
Destiny. It's like Mario, go to level 1-7, you know, you always get reset to 1-1 trying to, right?
Right.
If you fail the end of 1-7, it's like back to 1-1. And you're like, I already did all that.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. No, like a checkpointing system would have probably expedited it a lot more and made it more enjoyable because it's frustrating for any game that, you know, kind of punishes you for making one mistake and then throwing you really far back in your progression loop. And I think that's really part of why it's such a big misstep is that they didn't stop to think about the average Destiny player and who's going to be attempting this puzzle because I would like to think that with as much Destiny as I play, and I don't even play nearly as much as you do, that I would be able to attempt to do this puzzle with my clan. But everything that I've read and watched makes me
go, no, man,
that's not for me. Yeah. And that's kind of sad,
yeah.
You know, that I've paid for this content and it makes me feel really excluded from it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that they really went deep, and there's, for some fans, I think they loved some of the things, but apparently it got so convoluted. People still don't understand why things are happening. But I tend to err on the side of, I wish that a lot more of it was like face value in the game. Like, put things and puzzles in front of me. I was using words like Zelda and Uncharted. I know, like, I'm not saying make it those games, but those things have, it's in the game.
Right.
It's not the triumph that unlocks a lore tab that I read that's a riddle and wrapped in an enigma and a riddle, and that's where it has gone. And it was too far. I wish it was puzzle mechanic based. Like, imagine it's you, it's like the raid, right? Like, figure out the mechanics. I don't like this side of, like, people were like getting into like Merlin's lore. They were looking up like star constellation names, and like, quite
that's
honestly
crazy.
We don't even know, but like, the truth is they're probably wrong. It was right there in front of them, but it's so confusing. So
Has anybody solved it as of right now? Do you know?
I didn't double check this morning, but I had not heard.
Hey, Bear,
any
would you mind checking? I know we don't normally check the chat on this show, but if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, double check. It's a good
or
point.
You can write in, of course, to kenfinney.com/you'rewrong.
He's got headphones on. He can't hear you.
Yeah.
Well, then never
it's
mind.
It's weird that you asked him, and I'm
I didn't
here.
See you.
Hey, right, Kevin.
Were you kicking back and putting your feet up on the desk?
Can you tell Barrett?
I thought
us?
You walked away, Kevin.
I'm right here.
But yeah, oh, and gosh. Then they unleashed another puzzle thing. Anyway,
nobody has solved it yet.
I think the end of that I would say, unfortunately, this is the type of stuff that people who don't play Destiny hear about, and they're like, "Nah, it's really not."
Sounds really lame.
It's really not what the game is. It was just this thing that they did that was an experiment in some ways. Yeah. It actually goes all the way back to Wrath of the Machine when they had done some binary code puzzles. People really enjoyed that, but it was done much differently. And anyway, it's a little crazy.
Well, hopefully somebody will solve it at some point. But when is that going to be? Who knows? But what we do know, Fran, is what is coming out today. And if we wanted to find that out, where would we go?
Wait, I don't have the script pulled up, Andrea. I mean, well, would you like me to tell you where to go? Because this is the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Out today, a cheaty bundle on Switch, at sundown on PC, Aftercharge on Xbox One and PC, BQM, the Block Quest Makers on Switch, Bury Me My Love is on Switch, Catherine Classic is out on Steam. Just as a reminder, Catherine Full Body still has no official release date in the West, but it is coming out on Valentine's Day in Japan.
Oh.
Combat Core is on Switch. Double Cross is on Switch. Everything is on Switch. I played that. It's weird. Inside My Radio on Switch. Light Seekers is on Switch. Mega Wars Desert Ashes is on Switch. Overdriven Reloaded Special Edition is also on Switch. And Snowboarding the Next Phase is on Switch. I talk about my experience with Everything, which is a game that has already been on consoles and PC in the past and is more of an art experiment, a thought experiment, than a video game, on What's Good Games that comes out tomorrow. So if you're interested in hearing me talk about my weird experience as a Palomino horse, you can check out the show tomorrow. New dates. Bandai Namco has announced that it will hold an open beta weekend for their upcoming arena fighting game, Jump Force. Starting January 18th through January 20th, the open beta will give players access to the game's online versus mode, where they can play as 17 characters from the final game, battle across 5 stages, and test out the online lobby using 6 preset avatars. The open beta will be available for players who preload on their Xbox One and PlayStation 4 beginning January 17th. The open beta will be available for 4 3-hour sessions across those dates. So if you want those specific details, of course, head on over to Bandai Namco's website. Deals of the day. So Wario64 had tweeted that Catherine Classic, which I mentioned, is out today. The digital deluxe edition on Steam is $15.99 on Voidu with the code Winter Madness. Of course, he does use affiliate links most of the time, so please give Wario64 some love and head on over to his tweet at Wario64 on Twitter if you want to get Catherine on Steam for that discount with that special code. Today's Reader Mail is brought to you by Quip. The new year means new resolutions. We've got one you're working on twice every day. Fran, it's your oral health. And with a Quip electric toothbrush, sticking to good habits is simple. Fran, you've got nice teeth.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you brush twice a day?
No. Sometimes.
Did you know that over 50% of people don't brush twice a day?
Yeah, more of a morning, sometimes at night. But Quip is, I believe, an electric toothbrush.
Right? It is. The guiding features are built-in support system for better brushing. Nick loves his Quip toothbrush. I love my Quip toothbrush. And hopefully, Fran, someday you'll love your Quip toothbrush too. Why? Because Nick didn't know he should be brushing for 2 minutes every time. But Quip's built-in timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth evenly. Multi-use cover works as a stand, mounts to your mirror, and slides over your bristles to pack and protect your Quip on the go for all of you travelers out there. Plus, there are no wires or a clunky charge, and it runs for 3 months on a single charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And a friendly reminder for it's time for a refresh and to stay committed to your oral health. I just got my refresh in the mail about a week ago, and I'm really excited that they changed the formula of their toothpaste because now it has xylitol in it and no longer has sodium lauryl sulfate in it, which is great.
Not sugar, but nice and sweet.
Right. Well, xylitol is actually an antibacterial chemical.
Oh, it's that, but it's also the sweetener, isn't it?
I
thought it was.
I think you're thinking of sorbitol.
Maybe it's both.
This is good. You're wrong. Let's find out what all the fake sweeteners are. All right. Quip starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's right. Your first refill pack is free if you go to getquip.com/games and sign up to make your mouth clean. Next up is Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35, Fran. You don't want to lose any of that beautiful hair on your head. And the thing is, when you start to notice it, it's just too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair that you've lost. And that's why there's 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. And these are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no waiting room, there's no awkward in-person doctor visits, and you can save hours by just going to 4hims.com. Nick and Andy use it, and they love it. Andy keeps getting his hair loss gummies, and Nick keeps stealing them. Why is that not a surprise to me?
No.
That guy. Order now. Our listeners will get a trial month of Hims for just $5 right now while supplies last. See the website for full details because this could cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. That's right. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. All right. We are into reader mail, and as a friendly reminder, because it's our first full week of all the brand new shows here at Kinda Funny 4.0, we are doing reader mail a little bit differently this year. We want you to go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames to submit your questions. And the first question we have is from Professor Woke. What's good, Andrea? And welcome, Fran. I'm an occasional Fire Team chat viewer, and I'm excited for you and Andrea to give Destiny a little more representation on Kinda Funny shows. In that spirit, I have two related questions. With Anthem posed to challenge Destiny, what are some lessons you hope they learn from it and expect to see in the former?
Wow. Number one, I would just say, remember, I know what you're getting at, by the way, but Anthem's third-person shooter, Destiny's first person. I don't actually expect them to really feel and be the same, but I think the expectations high is the only reason I bring it up. Try not to get your expectations too high. That's like a Destiny replacement or something. But that being said, I really think number one, they got to learn on communication, the expectation of what you can do every week. And two, that people will be ravenous. So what happens when we burn through the content? Have they learned that lesson and do they have stuff waiting? Division went through the same thing. I know that's a broad answer, but...
Well, I have had the pleasure of playing Anthem several times at different preview events leading up to launch, which is next month, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, I've played E3 and the... whatever was just out that we could... the closed beta, which we can't talk about.
Right.
But I've played it.
I also played it, but we're not going to talk about it. What I can talk about is the stuff that I played at an event like PAX and at E3 and other public events. So... What's great about Anthem is that it just is a different style of gameplay, as you mentioned, than Destiny is. The way that they're weaving narrative into the game is just fundamentally different than the way that Destiny does it. I'm really excited to see how they're going to incorporate that narrative long term, because you really kind of craft your own personal story that happens at Fort Tarsus. Whereas with Destiny, the story is everyone's story. Everyone's story is the same.
Yeah.
Right? Like your Guardian doesn't have a unique story.
Yeah. This is BioWare, right? You got to remember the choices you made in Mass Effect. affect, and Dragon Age, they affect the sort of what's happening. That's interesting to see that it's an anthem to some degree, right?
And I'm just going to say that based off what I've seen so far from the BioWare customization stream that they did, it looks like the customization is going to be a much friendlier system than in Destiny, which makes me a little sad that Bungie hasn't kind of
come around to that yet.
Exactly. Yeah. But I also think it's worth noting that when I did a pre-briefing with the BioWare team ahead of the Game Awards, when they released that new story trailer and then announced the VIP demo that's happening at the end of this month, they told us that they have... they're working on content specifically for post-launch. So they showed us a couple things, some narrative things. There's going to be like a new area that you can go. They have like new missions and things lined up that are coming post-launch. So they're clearly thinking about it.
Yeah.
Will it be enough? Remains to be seen, because it's going to be difficult to compare the ravenous level of an online community for a BioWare game to an Activision game.
Yeah.
Well, really to a Bungie game, obviously. But
yeah, exactly.
But like as far as the ability for them to kick content out quickly. Obviously, EA has a lot of systems in place to handle that from a back-end and marketing structure, but will BioWare be able to deliver?
Yeah, and there's no PvP that we know of currently.
And there's no plans for PvP at this time.
It's just not.
What they said to me when we were doing the interviews was that they have heard people ask for it, that they will consider it at some point in the future, but it's not currently in the works. And it's not like there's not like a date in the future that they're going to be announcing it. They're like maybe. We're not saying no to PvP, but we're not saying yes to PvP.
Sure, if there was all the resource and talent in the world, of course it should have PvP in it right now at launch. I think it's way more ambitious to, you know, to pull that off, and I think they are doing the right thing to wait on that.
Yes, agreed.
Focus on the current PvE. So when I want to co-op up with Andrea, we got stuff to do, things to grind. I'm super excited.
That matchmaking process is fluid. That's really the important part here, is that I would really love to see them not have any stumbles at launch and have it be really successful and fluid. Like that's what I'm hoping for.
Just jinxed them. You just jinxed them. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Was the number one choice on my list for the most anticipated games 2019.
Same.
On the Gamescast.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Gee, I wonder, Destiny fans that are excited about that. It's funny. Greg, I think, was Division.
Of course.
So the grindy games, man, the persistent online, is really getting its hooks into people this the last several years.
Indeed. All right, Rachel has a question. She says, now that Epic is starting to flex some serious muscle with the Ubisoft announcement that they'll be putting the Division 2 on the Epic Game Store, do you think Valve will start to feel the pressure and turn to releasing a new installment of one of their amazing IPs? I would love to see a new Portal or a new Half-Life. However, I would love to see them release a longer, more in-depth VR experience. Thank you for always keeping me company during the long work hours and raising my spirits when times are rough. Andrea and Fran, you both are superheroes in my opinion.
Wow.
Aw, thanks, Rachel.
Thank you. Rachel. Thank you.
I would love Portal 3. That would make me incredibly happy.
Yeah.
Like Portal 2 is one of my top 10 favorite
Half-Life
games
3?
Of all time.
While we're at it.
Like I could care less about Half-Life.
Oh, don't you be careful now, Andrew. Are you sure?
That ship has sailed,
are
right,
you
Barrett?
Sure. Wait, do you wanna expound on that? Because like that's going on the record.
Yeah, no.
That's it?
It's okay.
That's a mic drop.
I don't care about Half-Life.
No.
I said it.
Yeah. No, anyway, different discussion.
The thing is, there's a whole generation of gamers who don't even know what Half-Life is because it's been that long.
It's true.
And during our Gamescast discussion,
you're just mad because it has been so long.
When Jared Petty also neglected Half-Life in his bullshit argument thing that he made, which I'm not going to spoil because you guys should listen to it. It's really funny. But here's my thing. Like, I think Valve is way overdue for publishing something. I don't think Dota Artifact counts. I think that services a very niche audience. Obviously, there's a monster Dota 2 audience, and we don't have current numbers on Dota Artifact. If somebody does have those numbers, of course, this is a great place for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But they just need to give the people what they want, whether that's Left 4 Dead 3 or it's Portal 3.
Like, all the above.
Either of those two games, maybe it's Team Fortress 3.
Yeah.
Something different, something new. I don't necessarily know that the Ubisoft announcement or what's happening with the Epic Game Store is going to push them into publishing. I think it might push them to change their revenue split model if they get enough people leaving, but as of right now, they know that they still have domination in the PC digital distribution space, and they're not going to budge until they really start to feel the pinch, which I don't think will happen for probably like 2 to 5 years, quite honestly.
Yep. Yeah, I'd say a couple quick things. One, wow, that is huge, though, that Ubi, which has its own platform as well for, I believe, buying and selling
Ubi
the game.
Play.
You can go straight through it. But they're going with Epic. That's a... It's a ton of pressure for sure. But I mean, we live in a world where that's super important. So I'm glad that healthy competition is happening. Steam is just a monster. But that's also why it's not going anywhere. It's like Steam is suddenly, you know, we live in a world where on our phones, we don't even think about, you use either the Google store or the Apple store probably. And like, mm-hmm. that's just the world you live in. It doesn't matter. On something like PC, you know, you can choose now. So, like, big deal. And Valve makes tons of money. So that's the one side. But I'm really glad the pressure's there. And, man, I'm Epic's doing some interesting things in that space. The other thing I'd say, though, is Valve already said, actually, it's coming back to development. I don't know if they have expanded on it. But last year, funnily enough, I was just pulling it up. So, again, I don't know if it's been updated since then. But Gabe Newell was at an Artifact conference or whatever. And he reiterated Valve is getting back into developing new games. After talking about Valve's focus on Steam and hardware, he described it as an investment in the future. Anyway, he already said they're getting back to it. So it's not like this isn't part of the plan. I think maybe if you were to look at that and rephrase the question, will this accelerate them getting something back out the door? Yeah, I think it will. I think it will be a slight catalyst, but they're already planning on it anyway. Yeah.
Thanks, Rachel. I appreciate you writing
in. That was a great question.
All right, looks like we have time for one more. Do any of these speak to you? Or do you want me to pick?
I need to bring a laptop. Tabbing between stuff. So wait.
How about this one?
We'll try.
From Alex Bliss from Minnesota. With all the talk of Days Gone and The Last of Us potentially getting in the way of each other and cannibalizing each other in sales, I'm often confused why no one ever mentions the three Japanese Dark Souls-esque games that we are getting. All potentially this year. Nioh 2 has a 2019 release date. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice comes out in March 2019. And on a previous episode, some of the KFGD crew thinks that maybe Ghost of Tsushima could potentially release this year. Am I taking crazy pills, or at least one of these games destined to fail because the industry confusion and fatigue? Love everything you all do. Welcome to the party, Fran.
So it's funny because it started as Last of Us and Days Gone.
The Souls style games.
Cannibalizing each other.
Right.
Easy answer for me. Absolutely not. Not a problem. Those fans are so hungry for those types of games, and they don't even all release at the same time.
Right.
Sekiro's in a great spot. In fact, I think we saw people moving stuff around. Like, Darksiders just came out all of a sudden when I think it was supposed to come out this year.
But Darksiders is not this style of game.
It is, to a point.
It's much more of like an action RPG.
Darksiders 3 has really gotten... it's funny. So I know this because my brother is this fan.
Okay.
He's nuts about it. And he's played Dark Souls and Nioh, everything over and over, and he can't, you know, get enough. And when Darksiders 3 came out, he's like, wow, it's like they copied Dark Souls 3 to a point. Now, granted, that's just his purview, but I have watched. It is very heavy in the combat. Putting that aside, I don't think it's a problem because the release dates are far apart. I guess it's not about Last of Us and Days Gone. I'm still caught up with them. But I'm like, I know they both got zombies and end of the world stuff, but they don't even have release dates, and they won't cannibalize each other.
Well, Days Gone does. Days Gone is out in April.
It is out in April.
Yes.
Okay. Forgot.
So,
Fran's wrong.
Last of Us Part 2 is the game that we don't know. It could have a surprise release this fall, but I think 2020 seems like a more reasonable space. But, you know, I had said previously on the show that I think it would be really a misstep if PlayStation released two zombie-focused games in the same year. But maybe it wouldn't be. Maybe they're servicing different audiences.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm curious what you think, maybe, but I don't think Ghost of Tsushima will be like Dark Souls. I know that now it's like Sekiro, but ultimately you got creators of, like, Infamous, you got Ninja Gaiden, you know, that's who makes Nioh stuff, right? And then you've got the Dark Souls folks. I think their styles are different enough. Not really going to be a problem, but what do you think?
No, I agree. I think that they're going to be different types of games. I think I think maybe you could have an argument that Nioh 2 and Sekiro are going to maybe compete with each other, but I don't think we don't have a release date for Nioh 2 yet, do we?
This is a, see, I didn't think we did because we were doing the 2019.
Is it just say 2019?
But I don't have it in front of me, so we'll find out if.
Well, we're going to go right into you're wrong right now because we did not get a squad up on the dock today. Don't forget, you can send us your squad up request to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and look for those January participation links.
Wait, what's a squad up request?
So the Kind of Funny best friends.
Do you even watch this show?
I will watch this episode. Catch me on Twitch TV FM3 if you don't know.
Well, if you want to squad up, Fran, we have an amazing community of best friends out there, and they love playing video games, and they love coming to the aid of other best friends who need someone to help them in a video game.
Oh, yeah.
So whether you play on Xbox or PlayStation or Switch or PC or Linux or whatever weird platform you play on.
Big Linux player.
There's a best friend out there for you that will help you play the online game that you need assistance with. You just got to write us and tell us what you need help with, and then the best friends will come to your
aid. That's awesome. So
let's head on over to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Let's see.
I'm sure we were wrong about something, but I've been catching them too.
So Zyger, this is worth noting.
Zyger, man.
Regarding Andrea's comment about Red Dead Online being nominated for an award but still being in beta, technically Fortnite is still in beta as well.
I knew someone was going to say that.
That is important to note. However, Fortnite's not broken in beta.
Wait, though. That's just truth. F's in chat for Zyger.
So, yes, you're right.
Wait, it's funny because I don't have it in front of me. I don't know. Do they say it's in beta? They say it's early access. Do they say it's in beta? Is Zyger wrong?
I believe Battle Royale is in beta and Save the World is still in early access. Yeah. But maybe I'm wrong. Write in. Maybe I'll read it by the end of the show.
Love you, Zyger.
Kebab says, PSA, one of the new releases for today, Aftercharge, is this week's party mode game and is available to view now at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Thanks, Kebabs. Stead John App. I don't know how to say your name. I'm sorry. Says Sega Ages Outrun also came out on Switch today. Thank you. Andrea's Five Head says Gator Heap is also out on Switch today. Okay. A new date from Zaire. Final Fantasy. You know what, Zaire? I actually pulled this up and I just forgot to put it in the doc. So thank you for writing this in.
Final Fantasy
12, The Zodiac Age is coming to Switch and Xbox One on April 30th. Also, Final Fantasy 10-2 Remastered are also coming to Switch and Xbox One on April 16th. Thank you for writing that in. Literally, the tab is open on my computer. I just forgot to put it in.
That was a big one.
I
did want to mention that you probably talk about it on tomorrow's news. Resident Evil, the remake, too, is getting the demo starting on the 11th. It's going through the end of the month. It's a weird 30-minute demo thing. Look it up, but you'll probably talk about it tomorrow's news as well. I don't know if you're here tomorrow, but
I am here tomorrow.
So there you go. A little hot tip for tomorrow. But I'm super excited about that game, and I think it is almost a release date for, it's just a day away.
Exactly. Next up from Quip Vibrates in MeUndies. Toothpaste.
What?
Has artificial sweeteners such as sodium saccharin. Unlike sugar, saccharin doesn't promote tooth decay. You two are talking about xylitol, a natural type of sweetener known as a sugar alcohol.
It is. There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
I guess it's an antibacterial as well, though.
I guess.
Or is it?
Yeah, I mean, I looked it up. It said it was. Kebabs,
can I tell you why I know about xylitol? I think it's xylitol that I read that if people chew like gum with xylitol, like, but all day, like a ton of it, you'll get like explosive diarrhea.
God.
I mean, but yeah, you shouldn't be having of any artificial products. That PR guy says xylitol is indeed a sweet sugar alcohol that has zero calories and also prevents tooth decay since it doesn't break down into acidic byproducts in your mouth.
Awesome.
That's good.
Science for science. I love this.
Excuse me, the nanobiologist. I mentioned Left 4 Dead 3. How dare you? Goat Ruffles. Andrea, it isn't called Dota Artifact. It's just Artifact.
Okay.
Cool. Fine. Thanks.
That's fair. That's fair.
Lord of Pwn, Niobe Labs came out on January 8th. Fran said the 7th. Costly Davis, I'm with you. Fuck Half-Life 3.
But you are right. But I think the reason is, I think on the map it was week of January 7th or something. I might have made that up, but it is the week of.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I was wrong. You're right. We didn't know it was the 10th when we started the show.
Goat Ruffle says the question about the three games cannibalizing each other was not in reference to them being like Dark Souls in terms of combat, but in the three games are all set in feudal Japan inspired worlds. Yeah. Well, Goat Ruffles, I appreciate you writing that in, but that's not what the question said.
Yeah.
So, I know we're going to wrap, Kevin. I'm really at the end. Don't you worry.
Oh, we're over time.
No, we're just at time right now. Kebab says, I can't find any current numbers, but apparently Artifact has tanked in terms of player numbers according to Team Spy. According to the site, yesterday it had about 4,000 concurrent players. Yikes!
That's a yikes.
Rainbow Six Siege, ranked mode is still in beta, says the nanobiologist. I don't know what that has to do with anything. It wasn't nominated for anything. And Neek Sleep, I said Catherine Classic is available on Steam today. It was in the deals of the day. You guys, if you're going to write into You're Wrong, at least make sure it's factually correct.
Oh, no!
I don't think that's asking too much.
Now, this is the dumpster fire that we inspire at Kinda Funny, right?
No, this is the one that's show, fan, that we try it. To make sure it's not okay. A dumpster fire. But now we really got to wrap.
Kinda
Fran
and Games
Thank you so
Daily.
Much for hosting the show with me today. This was a pleasure.
Was
again, don't forget, Fran and I are both on the Gamescast, which comes out tomorrow at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to check that out. Or you can check it out at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames on Monday. Until then, it's been our pleasure to serve. Shake my hand, Fran.